Sunday, June 13th, was a day spent partly in being the executive I have not been at the ranch for many months. Sleep has eluded me, and instead of sleeping very late as I would have loved, especially since we'd sort of tacitly agreed to omit church, I woke up early and drove around over the ranch to see the coastal Bermuda. There's something so personal about the early morning, a sense of discovery. This is all mine, alone, this beautiful world, fresh and dewy, a sense of expectancy. Then I walked around the yard with James, looking at every plant, trying to reassure him that I thought with all the multitude of jobs he had to do, he'd done splendidly with the main ranch house. But the proliferation around here, another ranch, another house, another responsibility here and there, I can see so well how he can't cover it all, and he's entitled to feel proud of what he does do. I want him to feel a sense of cooperation with Pat Taylor, and that Pat is here temporarily for the summer to make some long-term additions, to give a manicured look, to help James. My personal act for the beautification program was hiring him. About 11, I got Pat in the car with me, and we rode around talking about planting a clump of yuccas at the main entrance to the ranch across the river from Ranch Road 1, perhaps at the turn to the west. The one way goes down to the ranch and the other to Oriole's. But on the side that goes around to Oriole's in the arc, perhaps a clump of Retamas or redbuds. So late in the year, we have only about a 50-50 chance, he says, of making the trees live. And besides, we've only been able to find 10 at any of the available nurseries hereabouts. But we chose a place to put them, there in the turn of the road. And then we discovered to my delight that our redbud tree, underneath the live oak on the west side, has about 4 or 5 small children thereabouts, and a stray mimosa planted by the errant breeze over 2 feet high, and lots of sumac along the fence where we planted the bluebonnets last year. But we made plans to dig up those that are transferable, to put them in the house where Lennon was born, in a random clump along the cedar rail fence on the north side. We can't lose anything except a few hours of Pat's labor. Then we talked about cutting dead wood out of trees in the grove and of sawing down dead post oak on the west side of the house where Lennon was born. Walked carefully and lovingly over every foot of ground in the yard and the grove where they have with barbecues, and made great plans for strewing wildflower seed, particularly along the runway, the landing strip. It would greet us when we come in from Washington with all our guests, the blaze of color next March and April and May, if the Lord sends rain. And also perhaps wildflower seed in the back 50 or 100 feet of the boyhood home in Johnson City, and along the fence line facing Ranch Road 1, and maybe pink queen's wreath, or wisteria along the cedar rail fence, and especially honeysuckle in the narrow lane as you drive in along the fence row toward the house where Lennon was born. It smelled so intoxicating in the early morning. It was a happy couple of hours, but where and how to get the flower seed? I was bowled over at the price of what must be unusual and exotic wildflower seed to bloom in the fall, some $2,000 worth. Pat had chosen, quite impossible. We shelved the idea immediately. But DeWitt Greer was sending one of his men, Mr. Bowen, out to join us a little past 12, and when he came, we had a quick hamburger and cup of coffee at the kitchen table. I wonder sometime what my guests and employees think of me. Lyndon had left some of the folks and staff to join AW and look at a new ranch that was for sale. Almost an addiction with him. And I was to join him. I promised, I hoped, at 1:30. So Mr. Bowen and Pat and I drove over to the Scharnhorst to see about harvesting bluebonnet seed and gallardia and wild verbena and wild phlox and Star of Texas and all the dozens of yellow varieties I can't name. And in the next hour, I had the same sort of elation that a wildcatter must get from striking a well. Fields the Scharnhorst on the left as you enter. Still a Persian carpet of bloom, yellow and red and orange and pink and white, every hue, dozens of varieties, and it's the middle of June. Mr. Bowen outlined to us the way the Highway Department of Texas does it. when the flowers have just about gone to seed, or dropping their seeds to the ground, they come in with some sort of mower that has an attachment at the back that collects vast quantities of the fallen flower weeds containing seed pods. It's just like great bushels of mulch. The theory is that nature is prodigal. It has already dropped millions and millions of seed to the ground, enough to take care of next spring, if the Lord sends rain. And then these bushels of mulch are put in a truck, taken to some other plot, and simply strewed around over the ground like so much hay, and left to disintegrate. The next spring, hopefully, the miracle. It won't be very tidy, I expect, but we'll see if it's productive. It's worth our try. Found that the bluebonnets were far advanced. They'll have to be harvested by hand, if at all. So I made plans for James' children to do it at almost what I'd pay Nicholson's per pound. We were the three most delighted people you ever saw, Mr. Bowen and Pat and I, planning our next spring's triumph. Pat gets several hours of credit toward his park maintenance course for this summer work, and he's already taking pictures of the before, and maybe next spring he can take the after. We figure the seeds will be ready to mow within a week or so. We laid out a lot of work. I thanked Mr. Bowen, said goodbye, and for once in my life, left on schedule by helicopter from the Scharnhorst at almost 1:30 to join Lyndon. We had a hard time finding him. We were headed for Enchanted Rock. Neither the pilot, nor I, nor the Secret Service, nobody knew where we were supposed to go. It was hilarious. We circled and looked and talked. And finally, they talked us in to a pasture almost in view of Enchanted Rock, a great, round, smooth, outcropping, vast, and demanding. Your eyes linger on it from wherever you are. The Secret Service car picked us up, and we set out like Stanley looking for Livingston, although I think some of the Secret Service was far from as interested as Stanley was. Bouncing across pastures, really meant for covered wagons, fording a river, a wide flood bed of sand, picturesque rocks on each side, and just a reminiscence of water in the middle. We found him. I settled myself comfortably between Lyndon and A.W., and we explored the proposed new ranch. It's supposed to have exotic game on it, strange types of deer and other animals, bought by the previous owner, and a deer-proof fence, and wonderful views of Enchanted Rock and wild country, and this river, a creek, threading through it. I can't remember whether it's called Honey Creek. And then we chopped to the Haywood for a late lunch, hungry and eager, and out in the boat. I am a coward. I do not like to go fast as the wind in that new boat with the front up high and our hair streaming. Lyndon loves it. A new ranch, a fast boat, are to him perfect release from Vietnam and the Dominican Republic. Any array of troubles. Jesse Killam was at our elbow all the time. Quiet, capable, wonderful. I know how much he has shielded me from problems of running the place. From the rivalries of the internecine warfare that takes place in any office or household where more than two people are hired. Never can I express how grateful I am. Finally, we just rode quietly in the big boat to the left under the highway bridge and the railroad bridge and up the Colorado where the river gets narrow, past the huge frame hotel, the resort hotel of 50 or so years ago. A cardinal flashed overhead. A blue heron sat immobile as a statue on a log on the bank. Young folks on water skis, old men fishing in boats, families rocking on the porches. What a delightful place to spend a Sunday afternoon, to spend one's old age or one's summers. I shall always love it, I believe. But the clock is our master, and close to five, we caught the helicopter in to Austin and boarded the plane for Washington. Lucy, bless her, had arrived back at the ranch at four, a little before, in fact, from her cross-country trip to Lubbock, and was at Bergstrom, on time, smiling and happy. Her daddy, prepared to be very stern with her, was completely undone by her smile and her teasing, her glowing happiness. for complete assurance that they'd driven carefully and had a wonderful time. Much as I dislike the expression, she's learned how to handle him, or maybe she's learned how to handle life. She had adored being with the Rays and their baby. She's living the hours between graduation and time to go to work like one great draft of joy. When we got to the White House, we could not land on the ground because of the preparation for the Festival of Arts, all the statuary all over the South grounds. So we landed in the mall. There was a crowd waiting to receive us. We waved at everybody, but were quickly in the cars and inside the grounds. The shell was lighted. Rehearsals were going on. The Joffrey Ballet in costume was on stage or just leaving. The place was astir with activity for tomorrow. And tomorrow, I had been trying to forget for the whole weekend. Well, here I am to face it, for better or worse.